Hello there, and welcome to another interesting edition of Sports Africana. Good day, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be listening from. My name is Oba Adeola Amukomo, and today promises to be exciting. As you know, we like to talk about the most interesting sports stories as it affects Africa. And we like to talk about successes, talk about our challenges, issues as it pertains to Africa. Can listen to us on all the various podcast directories such as Stitches, Deezer, Apple, and you can listen to all our previous episodes. Today promises to be exciting. Going to be talking about athletics. As you probably, if you have listened to previous editions, I've spoken to two former athletics sprinters or stars, Chidi Igbo and Innocent Egbunike, and they talked about their time in athletics, the challenges that they went through. And well, the challenges are still not has not left us yet, but obviously certain people are making strides and trying to bring back the lost glory days of athletics. It brings me great pleasure to introduce to you the CEO of Making of Champions Athletic Club and Media Group. They've got two different groups, the athletic club and the media group. Bambo Akoni. Bambo, it's nice to have you on Sports Africana.
Adeola, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. Quite a long time. We haven't seen for, well, very, very long time, to be honest. Since then, I think the last time I saw you was when you had the premiere of your documentary. At Jesus House, London. That was the last time I saw you, actually, if I remember. Before you tried to pack all your bags to Nigeria.
Yes, it's been the best part of this past decade, I think. We've been working on Making of Champions the last 7 years. And it's been quite a journey. And it feels like we're still just getting started.
Wow. Talking about Making of Champions, I know you to be in a different field of expertise, you know. And you decided to start Making of Champions. What was the reason why you started Making of Champions?
Well, I mean, like every other Nigerian who grew up watching Nigeria win medals at the Olympics, I was a bit stunned, or should I say disappointed, in 2012 at the London Olympics when we came back with no medals. I had booked my holiday, gone back to London to be part of the festivities. And the only thing of note we did was lose to the US in a record score in the basketball. So it just got me thinking, you know, like, we used to win medals in the past. Why aren't we doing that anymore? I got inspired to make the documentary, Making of Champions, the history. And that took us around the world, tracking down Nigeria's former, Nigeria's Olympic medalists and former world medalists, people like Innocent Egbunike, Francis Obikwelu, Gloria Lotse. And then the culmination of that documentary is that we went to Japan, rather we went to Jamaica with a double Olympic medalist, Enefi Okudo Obama. We went to watch the high school championships in Jamaica. And what we saw there just gave me the conviction that, you know what, Jamaica with 3 million people, which is like the size of Lagos Island, and 3 million people who all descended from West Africa, if they can do what they're doing in track and field, Nigeria should be able to do multiple times of that with 70 times the population. So that gave me the conviction to, you know, pack my bags and move back to Nigeria to found Making of Champions.
Wow, pack your bags because of athletics. When you were virtually doing very well in your field of expertise, that's very, very shockingly impressive, and it's a bold move. But lot when you consider the climate of Nigeria, and I'm sure you know, sport is quite, the climate of Nigeria is quite hostile to sport development at the moment. Yeah. As you were talking, you know, you said that the only thing worthy of note that Nigeria got the London 2012 was being plummeted by the United States of America basketball team. I'll give you a story there. I was on the live BBC radio program, somewhere in the East London while that was that game was going on, and I could not concentrate on that interview proper because I was meant to give the perspective of Africa on the Olympics, and here was Nigeria being it was more like a we've been giving it some little kids training, if I may put it that way, you know. But that's a story for another day. Yeah, athletics has been one of our glory sports, and as you mentioned, most of us grew up watching some of our old stuff. I remember the very first Olympics I watched, I think it was 1984, and I will tell you this, Nigeria qualified for the finals in four different events. Henry Amike in the hurdles, Innocent Egboneke and Sunday Uti in the 400 meters final, and of course the 4x400 where we got our solitary medal. And as a young boy then, I was full of optimism. I said to myself, in the years to come, Nigeria will dominate. And two of these athletes that I mentioned, Egboneke and Chidimo, for the next 7 to 10 years, were among the tops. And of course, over the lives, we've produced several athletes, Onyali, Falela Tukoya, and Obikwelu, and the likes. So when you moved back to Nigeria, what was your intention? How did you intend to, what were the machinery that you wanted to put in place to resuscitate or to bring alive athletics back?
Well, you know, seeing what I had seen through the making of the film, making of the documentary, and having that conviction that Nigeria had this unenviable, had this immeasurable talent in track and field, I moved back with the mindset that, you know what, we need to shed more light on the sport. We need to put the structures in place that allow athletes to thrive. Whatever we used to do in the past, we need to bring that back, and we also need to surpass it. So if you look at the 80s and 90s with that generation, a lot of them were discovered in Nigeria before moving to college in America. But that is no longer sufficient to get medals at the global stage. That guaranteed us some medals in the 80s and 90s, but the world has moved on since then. Jamaica, what they're doing now, they only started about 20 years ago, their own professional track clubs without sending their athletes to America at all. They did everything at home and they were able to rival the Americans and surpass them, especially in the, you know, in the men's 100 meters. So, you know, that's the model that I sought to really instill in Nigeria, where we can realize that we have all the resources we need and we have all the know-how that we need to replicate and surpass what Jamaica has done over the last 20 years.
Right. And okay, so going back to Nigeria to start the making of champions, how did you go about recruiting your athletes? What did you start doing? And how did you go about implementing what you want to aim at achieving?
So we had a very novel idea to discover athletes quickly. We knew we needed to discover the best talent very quickly. So we decided to do a reality show. It was called Top Sprinter or Top Sprinter Genesis. And we took basically four Olympic medalists around the country as our judges. Deji Aliyu, Gloria Alozie, Francis Obikwelu came in from Portugal. Alozie came in from Spain at the time. And then Uchenna Emedelu. So those four, we took them around the country. We had our auditions where we would have the athletes compete. And then after the competition, they would put them in the decision room where the judges would fight over them. So if you've seen The Voice, the singing reality show, it was kind of a, you know, kind of like inspired by that format where the judges fight over the talent and put them on their teams. We had a big final in Lagos that year, 2015. And about eight athletes were recruited in our first class of athletes from that reality TV show process. Today, you'll know some of the names, athletes like Joe Udo Gabriel, the national champion in the 100 meters, Jerry Jakba, who is the national 200 meter silver medalist. And even the following year, when we did the Top Sprinter Championship, we unearthed athletes like Emmanuel Ogeli, who is the national 400 meter champion today. So, you know, in 4 to 5 years, these athletes have risen to the top. They're winning medals for Nigeria globally. They're in the top 100 in their events globally. So it was a very, you know, ultimately it's been a very, you know, it was a very great way to start. You know, at the time we got on TV, we were on Vox Africa, which aired in Africa and also aired in the UK. BBC Sports Hour called Top Sprinter the X Factor for sprinters, which was very high praise. And the question they had at the time was, is this serious or is this just a gimmick? You know, and now that those athletes are now winning medals for Nigeria, I think it shows that that format actually really did work, you know. Obviously, you've talked about the environment not being very conducive for a lot of sports development in Nigeria. And that's really why we didn't really continue that format. It's an expensive format. It needs the widespread nationwide support from very big sponsors to sustain. And our hope is that we'll be able to bring back Top Sprinter, maybe after the Olympics, after the world has seen the fruit from that first edition 5 years ago.
Right. One of the things that you aimed at doing, apart from that, was to have an athletic club, which you started, and they're being coached by a former Olympian who was very successful at the top level. And like rightly mentioned, you've been able to at least have three of your athletes represent Nigeria at the national level and the global level. Joy Udo Gabriel, a case in point, and of course Jerry Jakba, who represented the I remember the African Championship as well, and Emmanuel Ogeli. What has it been like sustaining the athletic club? Because obviously most of the people that probably you've been working with will be there on a voluntary basis. It involves money. How have you been able to, and again, just to add to that, one of the ways you wanted to implement your vision is to ensure that our athletes are trained locally and at the same time they're studying as well too in the rest is in Nigeria. How have you been able to sustain this, considering the financial constraints or the financial aspect of it?
Well, it's not been easy, but the linking their athlete development to their education was actually key. It wasn't until we launched a scholarship, student athlete scholarship, the first of its kind in Nigeria in 2016, that we started getting traction from corporate sponsors to support these kids. You know, a lot of sponsors in Nigeria, because it's never really happened before, don't really understand the idea or concept of supporting this athlete for 4 to 5 years, and they may go to the Olympics, they may win medals, but you're not sure. You know, even as a CSR initiative, it's kind of long term for most corporates to commit to. But once we, you know, really highlighted the educational aspect of the program, which is they may win medals in, you know, at the Olympics, but they're going to be going to school throughout that period. You know, right now we have about 10 athletes who are at University of Nigeria. Because we're based in Lagos, the most are at the University of Lagos. We have about 8 in Unilag. We have one in, we have one at the University of Ibadan, and we have one at the University of Port Harcourt. We wouldn't have been able to come as far as we have without the support of some key sponsors who have actually awarded these scholarships to these athletes. Companies like NNPC SNEPCO, companies like ACO Group, ND Western, Niger Delta Exploration and Production. They've all been very key partners for us since we launched the scholarship in 2016. But you know, we're hoping a lot more can be done and a lot more sponsors can also come in. You know, we have almost 30 athletes at the moment. Probably about five or six have received a scholarship, and we're hoping that more sponsors can really see the value of what we're doing and come and partner with us.
Right. When you look at some of your athletes, I mean, this is just my opinion. Joy Udoh-Gabriel seems to be the poster person for the team. I know you might want to say that, oh, everybody is doing the all part of it. I understand that. But the reason why I like that is that at least she's the only one that has won something at a kind of global stage. And I'm talking about the Commonwealth Games. And she's represented both at the World Athletics Championship as well. And I know she was meant to be part of the World Cup due to logistical issues via the Federation. She couldn't particularly participate in that.
Yeah.
Now, she won the 4x100 meters bronze medal at the Commonwealth Games, and I think won the gold medal at the African Championship in the 4x400, and I think she won the bronze medal at the 100 meters, coming third behind the likes of Mary Talou, which I'm sure she'll consider a huge privilege, you know.
Yeah.
How, now those are, and you had Jerry Japa participating, getting to the 200 meters, I think got to the semi-finals or final, not too sure. Yeah. And Pujeli is, you can see the potential. Now, how do you now, you've discovered them as talents, you've developed them to some degree, thanks to Coach Deja Liu as well, who has been doing phenomenally as well. Now, how do you now take it to the next level? What are the things that needs to be in place to take them to the next level? Nutritionist, the sports science or way to get them to the next level as well too?
Yes, I mean, it's very, very important. You know, they are really on the cusp of breaking through to that next level. And we've really got to look at the, we've got to look at a lot of those technical aspects to help them to get there. So we do have physiotherapists, actually that we brought in from the UK, UK trained physiotherapist. Her name is Kendi Adeo. She's done a fantastic job over the last year plus since she moved back to Nigeria to work with Making of Champions. You know, we do also consult nutritionists. So we have actually been really at the cutting edge of what we can do in Nigeria. Obviously, the next step is also looking at the sports science aspect of it. We are exploring potential partnerships in different countries, you know, in Africa, also in Europe. What's interesting for us is that those top three athletes, Joy, Jerry, and Emmanuel, they will all be in Europe next year ahead of the Olympics. Jerry and Joy were in Europe last year, 2019. They competed across several countries, Italy, Switzerland, Luxembourg. You know, we are, put it this way, you get to a level where you need that competition internationally and globally. You need to test yourself against the best, and you need to have access to the best support. And that's what we are actually doing in Europe with these athletes.
Wow. I actually followed those the meets that they went around. I was super impressed because obviously there aren't too many meets in Nigeria at the moment. And I know the AFN has some classics, and the Making of Champion as well to introduce their own competition as well too. So just bring that up, like, but like rightly said, you have to get to the point whereby you're taking a notch higher. And from the athlete's point of view, how they received the support you've been giving them, I'm sure for some of them it may have been a dream come true. For some of them, they may never have realized that opportunity will present itself to them. And I'm talking about the likes of Joy Udoh-Gabriel, Jerry Japa, and Emmanuel Jelly, who now are getting some sort of exposure. How are they receiving it personally?
Well, I mean, I think they are very grateful for what we've done. I think it's been life-changing for most of them. You know, those the athletes that came into Making of Champions, particularly those three, if you look at where they are, and in terms of their age compared to the other athletes across the country, they have developed very quickly. They've developed as well as they would have if they, for example, had gone to the American collegiate system. You know, and a lot of people ask us questions, oh, why don't you let them go to the American collegiate system and that sort of thing? Why are you holding them back in Nigeria? And, you know, for us, it's a very simple thing. You know, if you know that you can give them something which propels them further than another option, then they will stay. You know, if you can't provide what they would get in the US as an athlete, then you can't keep them in Nigeria, even if you wanted to. So when I say, I mean, what are we providing for them? We're providing that training and that platform that allows them to really build their careers, represent Nigeria. I mean, I can tell you for a fact that if, for example, someone like Joido Gabriel had gone to America a couple of years ago, there's no guarantee that she'd be on the Nigerian team right now, running as fast as she's doing now. You know, so, you know, I think the important thing to note about our program and what we're doing is it's really nation building. It is basically to say not everybody can go to America. And even if one or two people can go, 100 people in Nigeria can still train and get to the same level in Nigeria, you know. And it was that lesson from Jamaica that we saw, which is, you know what, give them an education at home. An education from the University of Lagos is still a very good education, you know, and if you can marry that with world-class training and world-class results in athletics, then you really have a winning formula, you know. Case in point, you know, in Jamaica, you know, there's this saying that no athlete, when they finish secondary school, wants to go to America. They want to go down the road to University of West Indies and train with Usain Bolt and Racers Track Club. Or they want to go down the road to University of Technology and train with Asafa Powell or Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce at MVP Track Club. You know, so that's what we're hoping to build in Nigeria. And the likes of Joy Jerry and Emmanuel, they are almost like the pioneer athletes in that model. You know, I know you mentioned that Joy seems like the poster girl of the club, but I would say, you know, this year, because of the difficulties of this year, we've not been able to see the impact that the rest of the athletes would make. But I would definitely say, just watch out. I'll let the legs do the talking, but you know, these top athletes we've talked about that will be going to Europe, that hopefully should be at the Olympics next year, definitely look out for them. There's also another young man, our first para athlete, Ifeanyi Christian, who is very, very, he's got immense potential, probably is a medal contender at the Paralympics next year in the T46, 100 meters or 400 meters or both.
Right. Apart from the training support they get on the support they get for their academics, do they get some sort of grant to make them support themselves personally, you know, for every other thing, such that they are fully devoted and they don't have a thinking of money or anything?
Yes, they get stipends as well. You know, again, thanks to the sponsors that we have for these top athletes. And you know, they don't want for anything. You know, obviously as they get older, their personal needs and desires may increase. And the idea is that as they continue to improve and get more sponsorship, then obviously their stipends and what is available to them can continue to increase until the point that we start getting global sponsorships, you know, shoe and apparel deals from the likes of Nike or Puma or Adidas. That is the goal eventually in the next 1 or 2 years.
And finally, I know you don't like to get caught up with, I've listened to quite a number of your interviews, and you don't like getting caught up in the politics of at the administrative level, which is understandable. But what are the constraints that you're facing, even though you've made some strides so far, but what are the constraints that you face, considering the fact that you are based in Nigeria as an athletic club?
Well, I mean, there are obviously significant constraints. You know, the availability of competitions in Nigeria has been reducing every year in the last 2 to 3 years. It's been very difficult. That was actually the reason we launched our own competition, the MOC Grand Prix. The first edition was in 2018. The second edition was last year, 2019. So that's one of the biggest constraints. And I think that obviously there's been challenges and controversies with the federation, and they've had some difficulties. And you know, we hope that those kind of things can get resolved by the Olympics and definitely by the next administration. I think there's an election next year. As you rightly said, I don't like to talk too much about the politics, because I believe that when the athletes let their legs do the talking, the results should be clear, and it should result in national and global recognition. But it's a challenge sometimes, because often the athletes don't get to feel like they are really the center of all the plans that are being made, or are there even plans being made to help further them?
And have there been times that you feel like giving it or packing it all in, and when you face those constraints?
Yes, I mean, it's you know, sometimes you have those moments where you're like, okay, has this, you know, how is this going? Has this worked the way we need it to work? And you do always have moments like that when, you know, you're not sure how this is going to move forward. But we're at a very, I think we're at a very key point in our program, which is the first Olympics for our athletes. It should have happened already. Now it's going to happen in 2021. So by that time, we would have been training athletes for 5 years. We knew it was going to be a long-term process. So we've stuck with it, despite the difficulties and the challenges, the lack of resources, lack of funding, lack of competitions. We've been able to stick with it, and I'm really excited for what's going to happen next year.
And finally, are there other athletic clubs that you know that you've discovered apart from yourself, or athletic clubs who felt that, oh, you've been quite inspiring, maybe we can start something of that nature that you've come across in Nigeria?
Well, I would say not exactly like we have done. You know, I think there are obviously clubs all over the country. We're not the only ones producing top athletes for Nigeria. There are other top athletes in Nigeria that are doing very well. One example I would give is Fabo Ofili at Uniport, who has almost, you know, I would say she has one leg in the Olympics in 400 meters, almost hit the standard. The longtime champion in the 400 meters, Patience Okon-George. So, you know, there's other athletes who are doing very well. You know, Kadego K in the 100 meters. So I think that, you know, a lot of people do look to MOC as a standard bearer in Nigeria for, I would say, athlete welfare, for how we provide for our athletes, for how we look after them. And it's very, very tough, you know, because not everybody can do what we're doing. Not everybody can actually get access to corporate sponsors. So it's very, very tough, I think, for other clubs to really emulate what we're doing. But hopefully, once we get some level of international success next year and beyond, hopefully that will inspire others to say, you know what, we need to do this in Nigeria. We need to develop our athletes. You know, our greatest natural resource is our people. You know, 100 million people under the age of 18 in Nigeria. You know, we can have as many Usain Bolts as we want. We just have to look for them, and we have to look after them.
Thank you very much, Bambo, and I definitely agree with you. I remember when you take a look at the entertainment industry in Nigeria today, it's nowhere where it used to be years, some 20 and 25 years ago. So hopefully, if there can be some sort of success story at the global stage, and you know Nigeria likes to gravitate towards where success is, other people will begin to emulate what you're doing, and eventually corporate organization will begin to see that they can put in some money And it shouldn't just be the main sport, which is football, generally. It's nice to have you all, Sports Africana. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so there you have it. That was Bambo Akoni, the CEO of Making Up Champions, telling us about how he started, the challenges and the success stories. Until we come your way again, when we bring you another interesting edition, have a wonderful day and stay safe.